You know, at one time or another, every single one of us have been a philosopher. We've asked questions of ourselves and others that, we usually put in the realm of philosophy. One of them is, where did I come from? We've all had the occasion of a little child coming up to mom and dad and say, Mommy, Daddy, where did I come from? And, you say, well, you came from God. And they say, how did I get here? And I always said, go ask your mother and she'll tell you how you got here. Then we ask the question, where do I go when I leave? And again, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So we ask those two questions. Where did I come from? Where am I going? And then the third one is one that people often ask as well. Why am I here? Why am I here? Why did God allow me to come into this world? And that's the question I want to talk about this morning. I won't give you a complete answer, but I just want to give you a couple different things. See, I believe the Bible teaches us that every single person was put here for a purpose, amen, for a reason. I don't believe that anybody was born by accident. I don't believe anybody was born outside of the plan of God. I think every person that's born is here because God wants them to be here and he has a purpose and plan for their life. That's why I am so against abortion, because mankind is taking into their hands what only belongs to God, the giver of life. And again, you've heard me say before, how many plans have mankind messed up by all the little babies that God intended to be born to be put to death? But he has a plan for each of us, plan for each person that's born into this earth. And he wants us to find out what that plan is. And he wants us to accomplish that plan. He wants us to fulfill that purpose for which he made us, for which he created us. And in the Bible, God characterizes us fulfilling that plan or accomplishing that purpose by comparing it to an athletic contest. In the Bible, we read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, run with patience the race that is set before you, or set before us. And again, that race that God has designed for us to accomplish that purpose that he wants to accomplish, us to accomplish in this life. We read it in Hebrews, but it's in other places in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Okay, and what God is saying there is, look, you're in this race to accomplish this will that I've and purpose that I have for your life, so get into the race and run. Run to win. Run to accomplish it. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul said, I don't want to run in vain. I want to run to accomplish what God has called me and made me to accomplish. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, I therefore so run. So God compares our purpose and accomplishing that purpose to an athletic contest, that we should run that race that he's put before it. He also compares it to a fight or to wrestling. In 1 Corinthians, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul wrote, hey, I just don't shadow box. God's put me in this fight to accomplish this purpose that he's created me for. I'm going to fight for all I'm worth. I'm just not going to box in the air. When I box, I'm going to hit somebody. I'm going to accomplish something. 2 Timothy, as Paul was about to die, he wrote, I have fought a good fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, when he says, put on the whole armor of God, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So life has a purpose. You are here for a reason. God made you to do something that only you could do. And that's why he made you the way you are. Sometimes I look at people and I can't figure out why God made them the way they made them. I'm just looking at you, Wendell, so I don't look at anybody else. I know you're my buddy and the rest of them might take offense. But anyhow, Sometimes I look at people and I wonder why God made them. But I don't know. I'm not God. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And he has a purpose for every single person. And he wants us to accomplish that purpose. So he says, run, fight, give it all you've got, accomplish what I've made you to accomplish. So this morning, I have several things I want to say about that contest that we're in. And the contest that we're in is to accomplish the will of God. So here's the first point. Number one, you've got to qualify to enter the contest. You just can't get into it. You got to qualify to get into it. Much like a driver in a race, a car race, has to qualify. Much like a golfer has to qualify. You know, they play four rounds. If you don't get a certain score the first two rounds, you can't play the last two rounds. That's about all I know about golf. But anyhow, you got to qualify to play. Just like the teams in hockey and baseball and football. In order to qualify for the championship game, you have to win, you have to win so many games, and you have to beat your competition. Well, the contest that we're in to accomplish the will of God in our life, you've got to qualify for that contest. And the only way that you qualify to get into the race, to get into the fight, to accomplish the will that God wants you to accomplish in your life, is to trust Jesus as your Savior. If you don't trust Christ, you're not even in the game. Because if you don't trust Christ, if you don't make Jesus your Savior, then there's no way that you can accomplish the will that God has for your life, because the first will that God has for every life is for that life to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We can find other people that we can compare ourselves to and say, hey, I'm not so bad. But when we compare ourselves to the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, we all realize what sinners we are. Paul wrote, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we all ought to feel like that. I'm the chiefest of sinners. I stand guilty before God. There's nothing good about me. And if you want to get into this contest to accomplish the purpose that God made you for, you got to qualify, and you qualify by receiving Christ as your Savior. You admit that you're a sinner. Again, we're all sinners. You believe that when he went to the cross, he died for you. Brother Clyde, think about it. When mercy walked in, it's God's mercy. It's God's grace that we have the opportunity to be saved. It's nothing that we did. It's everything he did. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you want to get into this race, listen. Why wouldn't you want to get into the race? Into the race means you have an eternal home in heaven when you leave this earth. If you don't get into the race, when you leave this earth, you're going to hell. You're going to where Satan is. You're going to the place that God prepared for Satan. I don't know about you. I'd a whole lot rather go to heaven than to go to hell. Only a fool would choose hell over heaven. Why would you choose a place of darkness over a place of light? Why would you choose a place that has no foundation over one that has a firm foundation? Why would you choose to live with the devil as opposed to live with God? That's what you're doing when you don't get in this race. And so to get into this race, to accomplish the will of God in your life, you've got to get saved. And the way you get saved is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved, than the name of Jesus Christ. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So this morning, if you're not in the contest, I urge you, get in the contest. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Not only do you get to do what he made you to do, you get to go to heaven and be with him eternally. Now, second thing I point out about this contest, there is a judge. There's a judge that's going to overlook the contest. In the book of Romans chapter 14, the Bible says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brethren? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes again, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, a couple things about this. We're going to stand before the judge. He's going to judge this contest. He's going to judge whether we've accomplished the will that he's made us for. Know this. As a Christian, we will not be judged for our sin. We won't. They have been paid for. God judged our sin when he judged Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. He judged him for our sin, and Jesus paid for all our sin. So when I receive Christ, he takes my sin and moves as far as the east is from the west. That's pretty far. You can go east and east and east and never get to west. Well, God's removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. He's placed my sin, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, behind his back, where he can't get to it. He says in the book of Micah, "I will cast all their sin into the depths of the sea." He's taken our sin and cast it into the deepest part of the oceans. In the book of Hebrews, "Their iniquities will I remember no more." God forgets our sin. When he looks at us, he sees somebody that's been justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, how can God be God and forget?" Because he chose to forget. He chose to forget. No, he's God. He'll never forget anything. If he chooses to forget something, he'll forget it. And he chose to forget our sin. Because when he looks at me and when he looks at you, if you've received Christ, you stand before him just as if you've never sinned. You stand justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the judge of this contest is not going to judge our sin. In the book of 1 John 1:7, it says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So we won't be judged for our sins. There's a judge in this contest. But we won't be judged for our sins. We will be judged as stewards. We'll be judged as those that have been entrusted with something that belongs to somebody else, and we will be judged as well as to how well we've used that. You see, when God made us, he made us with a set of talents. He made us with a set of ability. He made us with a set of characteristics that define us, that tell people who we are. And God, when he designed the plan for our life, he knew how he was going to make us. And we can, in him, we can accomplish that thing that he made us for, because we have that unique set of things that he's put in our life so that we can accomplish it. And he gives us what we need. God never asks us to do anything without giving us the ability to do it. And so we're not going to be judged for our sins, but we're going to be judged for how well we've used what he's put into our life. You know the story in the book of Matthew. A rich man was going on a journey. He called three of his servants in. To the first one he gave 5 talents. To the second one he gave 2 talents. And to the third one he gave 1. Each of those servants had different abilities. Those servants had different talents. And so the master recognized that and gave 1 5 talents and 1 2, 1 1. He went on his trip. He came back. You know the story. He called his servants in. He said, "Give an account. Give an account of how you've used my property." That's what's going to happen when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's not going to judge us for our sins. He's going to judge us for how well we've used what he's left us to use while we're on this earth. The first one came in, said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. I've used it and I've gained 5 talents more." And the master said, "Well done. Well done." The servant that was given 2 talents came in before his master and said, "Master, you left me 2 talents. I've made 2 more. Here's 4. And the master said, "Well done." The servant that was given 1 came in and said, "Master, I know you're a hard man. I know you reap where you don't sow. I know you make a profit. And I was afraid. I was afraid if I used your talent, I was going to lose it. So I went and buried it. Buried it in the ground. Here it is, what you gave me. I didn't use it at all." And again, we read that story and we don't think about how sad it is. How sad that this master gave this servant something and he didn't use it at all. And he said, "Here's your talent back." And you know the story. He said, you're a wicked servant. Take that one talent from him and give it to the one that has 10 and drive this servant out to utter darkness. And again, it's not part of my message this morning. How sad it is. How sad it is that God left us this book and we don't, and we bury it and we don't use it. How sad it is that God has given us this church and we don't use it. How sad. And so we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged not for our sin, but we're going to be judged as stewards. And we're going to stand before God. And look, when we stand before God, I'm not going to be judged for Brother Sam's race. He's not going to be judged for mine. I'm not going to be judged for Josh's race. He's not going to be judged for mine. I'm going to be judged for my race. How well did I run the race that was set before me? How well did I fight the fight that was set before me? God's going to hold me accountable for what he's given me to do. So, number one, we've got to qualify. You got to qualify to get in the race. You do that by trusting Christ. You can't accomplish, look, unless you accomplish the first part of his will for your life, and that is to trust Jesus Christ, don't worry about the rest of it because you can't do it. You got to qualify. There's going to be a judge. Number three, we can be disqualified. We can be taken out of the contest. Now, again, I'm not saying we're going to lose our salvation. Not saying that. I believe in eternal life. But we can be disqualified from the contest. Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway means rejected. Paul said, I preached to others to run this race. I preached to others to fight this fight. And I am not going to preach to others and then myself not run, not fight, and so that God will cast me away, cast me out of this contest. It is a wicked sin not to use the things that God has given you to serve him. It is a wicked sin not to try to accomplish the purpose that God has made you for. And if we continue to not do that, God will say, okay, I'm taking you out of the race. I'm taking you out of the race. I'm going to take you to heaven. That's why Paul wrote, For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's why God said in the book of Exodus, at one point, God sought to kill Moses, because Moses wasn't doing what God had called him to do. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. So we can be disqualified from this race if we quit running, if we quit fighting, if we quit striving to do what God has called us to do. What he's made us to do. Why he created us. We can be disqualified. Number four, we can receive reward in this contest, in this race, in this fight. We can receive the crown of life. James 1:12, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Those that successfully endure temptation, not just the temptation to sin, but the temptation to get discouraged, the temptation to quit. There's the crown of life. There's the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. This is to preachers and to teachers. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's a crown of rejoicing to those that share the gospel. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul says, those that I win to Christ, those that I introduce to the Savior, I will receive a crown of rejoicing. There's the crown of righteousness. to those that love the doctrine of the rapture of him coming back. 2 Timothy, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so there's crowns, there's rewards that we can win in this contest. So we got to qualify. There's a judge. We can be disqualified. We can receive a reward. So what should we do? What should we do? Number one, qualify. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted him, you're a sinner. You're not even in the race. You're not in the fight. You cannot accomplish the will that God has made you for. Listen, what's keeping you back from trusting Christ? What's keeping you back? You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What's stopping you from coming to Jesus Christ? Get in the game. Get in the contest. You only do that by trusting him. So we need to qualify. Number two, we need to prepare. We read it in Hebrews. Let us lay aside every weight. Those are the things that slow us down. They're not necessarily sins in our life, but they're things that just keep us off track, that distract our focus. Things that we just, again, they're not sins, but we just need to get rid of them from our life so that we can focus more on accomplishing what God has for us to accomplish. So it said, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's the sins that we know about, the sins that we've decided to hang on to. The sins that you might classify, well, these are our pet sins. These are our favorite sins. Nobody knows about these sins but me and God. Well, the fact that God knows about them and the fact that you know about them affects how you can run the race and how you can fight the fight that he's given you to run and he's given you to fight. So just get rid of them. You don't run a race with galoshes and a raincoat. You don't fight, you don't fight with a necktie around your neck. I mean, somebody's going to grab it and jerk it. That's why I don't understand these football players that have long hair. That's where I'd grab the first thing. I'd tackle them by their hair. Crazy guys. So God says, get rid of those things. Get rid of them. And then number three, run. Run. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Look, Clyde said Frida didn't run around the house. I bet you she runs more than he does. I can just see old Clyde. Now here's Frida. All right. You didn't know you were going to be an illustration this morning, did you? That's what God's saying. Look, don't jog, don't trot. Get in there and give it all you got. Run! Fight! You're in a contest. And the contest is to accomplish what God made you to accomplish. Amen. One of these days, we're going to stand before that judge. And we're going to give an account of the talents that he's left us with. My hope is for you. And my hope is for myself. That when we stand before that judge, he'll say this, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. When we go to heaven, when we stand before Christ, my heartfelt desire for every person here is for you to hear the Savior say, well done. Well done. You've been a good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for making us with a purpose. And thank you for telling us about how to accomplish that purpose in your word. I pray first of all for those that might be here this morning that's never received Christ. Help them see their sin, the penalty for that sin. Help them see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for them, for their sin. And Father, whatever's been holding them back up to this point, help them to just discard it and to come to Jesus this morning and claim the gift of salvation that he offers to every person because of his death on Calvary. Most of us are Christians here this morning. I pray for us, Father. I pray that you'd help us realize that we're in a race. You've called us to run it. You've set it before us. It's a different one for every person. You have a fight that you want us to fight. It's a different fight for every person. We're not going to be held accountable for somebody else's race. We're going to be accountable for ours. How well did we run it? How well did we get ready to run it? Did we cast off those things that slow us down? Did we cast off those sins that hold us back? Are we running for all we're worth to be what you want us to be? I pray as we examine our lives this morning, if there's things there that shouldn't be, we'll make some holy decisions this morning to get rid of them. If we've sat down for a while, I pray we get back up, start running, and we'd run the race that you've set before us. So speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Convict us if you need to convict us. Just work, just accomplish your will in this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.